Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really excited to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. It's a little bit rainy today. Rob, I never know the official stance. Is today Red Friday? Because I know the Chiefs have a game this week, but the game's on Monday, so Monday's a Red Monday. I never know the official Chiefs Kingdom language. If you guys can tell me, I would really appreciate it. 913-586-7965. We got a lot of college football planned in today's show. I think that's the focus this week. I understand the Chiefs play on Monday Night Football, and the Chiefs have a very busy week next week with Monday Night Football and then going on the road to Buffalo to take on the Bills, but it feels like this weekend is about the three local colleges. You got KU taking on K-State. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit, and we also have the game between Missouri and Vanderbilt as well on Saturday. So a lot of our focus today is going to be on that. We're also going to be joined here coming up in about 15 minutes from the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quinn Lucas. We'll ask him about the Royals and if there's an update. We saw a letter from the mayor of North Kansas City regarding these stadiums and the future possibly of the Kansas City Royals. And today is a major day in Kansas City. It is the official day of the expansion of the streetcar. You know, back in my day, the streetcar only went from the city market to Union Station. That is not the case anymore. The streetcar will now take you from city market all the way down to UMKC and the plaza. So we'll be joined by the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quinn Lucas, to talk about that coming up in just a bit. Again, we got a lot of college football to get into in today's show, but Chiefs fans, don't feel neglected. I promise you we will talk some pro football as well and get you ready for the weekend and Monday Night Football. Before we do any of that, though, I need to remind you guys of a couple of things. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. I mean, it'd be cool if you could tell two people to check out the show, but if you could just tell one person to check out the show, you know what? I would greatly appreciate that. And number three, and most important, you need to remember that the open of the show is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. So if you're looking for a place this weekend to watch a little Kansas State, a little Missouri, maybe you're looking to watch a little playoff baseball, if you're looking for somewhere to do that and you also want to get a drink, you also want to get some good eats, then look no further than our friends over at The Other Place with five locations all around the Kansas City metropolitan area. All right, Rob, I'm bringing you in on the open. We're going to tag team this thing like Lex Luger and Sting. That's how we're going to do this. I think that this is a very big week for all three of the local coaches. Let's start with your team. Let's start with the Kansas Jayhawks. They are the home team against their rival. It has been 16 years since the last time that Kansas has beaten K-State in a football game. You are a season ticket holder. I asked you at the very beginning of the season, hey, which one of these games did you want to win? Did you want to beat Missouri? Did you want to beat K-State? You at least wanted to go 1-1 in these matchups. You lost the first game, and certainly no shame in that. The three programs that Kansas has lost to, those teams are just better than Kansas. Missouri's better than they are. Cincinnati's better than them. Texas Tech is better than them. I don't know if this year's Kansas State team is better than this year's Kansas team. This is not a program matchup. This is a where you are at this point on the field, October 25th. Who is the better team? I think that Kansas has the quarterback advantage. They have the home field advantage. I think they've been a better and more cohesive team so far this season than the opposition. I don't know if there's been a lot of times that you've been able to say that about KU going up against K-State. A lot of times you felt like Kansas State would outmatch the Jayhawks. I don't really think that's the case here. This feels like it's time for Lance Leipold. There has been a major investment in the football program financially. We know about the $300 million with David Booth. We know about the stadium renovations. We know about the behind the scenes and facilities and all of those things. This is a KU team that is looking at going to a bowl game in three of the last 4 years. If they just pick up two more wins this season, Lance has checked a lot of the boxes so far at KU. I don't think KU's winning the Big 12. I don't think they're making a deep run in the college football playoff. But checking one of the boxes of beating K-State and getting to the point where you're competitive against them, where in a decade's time, can you win three of those games? Can you possibly win four of those games? Can you get it to a 50-50? But it shouldn't be 0-10, and that's what it looks like right now in this matchup. Closing the gap between Kansas and Kansas State should be a major priority for Lance Leipold, and this is one of the few times that you feel like heading into this matchup, he is equipped with the better team. You feel like, at least from the KU perspective, there's a lot of pressure on Lance to go get this win on Saturday.
Calling it must win, I think, is probably dramatic, but I know I've seen some sentiment on social media from KU fans about how it is a must win game for Lance. I don't know it's that far, but I think this would go a long way for Lance Leipold. The natives are a little restless with Lance. Let's be honest. Last year's season did not live up to expectations at all. They were preseason ranked top 25. They failed to make a bowl game. Like, it was bad in 2024. And 2025, fans are largely happy with the state of the program. They largely feel like we're going in the right direction, and they largely feel like they have the guy who is going to continue to take them forward. But 0-2 against rivals, and you start to hear some grumbling from fans. You have the game in your building. It's a new building. K-State is down. You're coming off a bye. It feels like all the factors are there to pull the upset. This doesn't mean that KU is now, you know, upper echelon Big 12, or Lance Leipold has, you know, woken a sleeping giant. But if he can be a 7-5, 8-4 team this year with a win over Kansas State, that undoes a lot of the negative that happened last year at the fan base with him failing to make a bowl game. So this is a big moment for him, because the difference between 6-6 and 7-5. In a bowl game, it doesn't matter, but 6-6 with no K-State win versus 7-5 with the K-State win is really a big difference in Lawrence.
Yeah, I think what has happened with Kansas, and I mean must win to me in terms of feeling. I'm not here advocating that if you lose this game, it's time to start evaluating things with Lance Leipold. He has done a phenomenal job at the University of Kansas. But I think right now what you are seeing with KU fans is the desire for growth. KU fans want to see their program grow and feel like you are moving and evolving. Part of evolution is finally getting over this hump and being able to take care of business at home against a team that feels like they are down right now. Kansas State hasn't won back-to-back games this season. They are 3-4. I don't think they really have a chance of winning the Big 12. Like, by all metrics, this has been a disappointing year for K-State, and it can go from a disappointing year to a bad year very, very quickly if Kansas can win this game at home. Now, let's talk about it from the K-State perspective. We've been talking about it a little bit. Let's dive into it a little bit more. Chris Klieman needs this one. I'm not saying he's on the hot seat, not saying any of those things, even though we have seen how quickly things can change with the college football program. We're not at that point when it comes to Chris Klieman. This year, you're going to have to be able to hand all the people who support Kansas State Athletics. I feel like they've shown up and done what they're supposed to do. I feel like they've done that when it comes to NIL for football, We got you Dylan Edwards. We got you Avery Johnson. We got you the five-star tight end kid, Lincoln Cuer. We've done what we're supposed to do in basketball. We got Haggerty. Like, no one can say that K-State is not investing money into their athletic teams and their departments. K-State fans have shown up for their program. Man, you got to start getting a little bit of return on your investment. The basketball program's got to be a little bit better this season. We'll see how they look. From a football standpoint, this has been a disappointing year by every metric. You lost at home to Army. You're not going to the college football playoff. You're not playing for one of those marquee games. Man, it'd be nice to hand those people who have given you a lot of money to invest in this football program, it'd be good to give them a win over Kansas. Because if you don't give them a win over Kansas, I don't know what you're handing them this season. And it's also fair to point out that if K-State loses this game, they really got to get going to make a bowl game. They're going to be 3-5 heading into Halloween. That ain't where you want to be. Now, they got a win coming up against Oklahoma State, but they also go on the road and they play Texas. Are they got Texas Tech next week at home, excuse me. That's a game that I think Texas is better than them. I think Tech wins that game even though they're the road team. You got the game against Oklahoma State, and you can navigate this schedule potentially, but you really got to get going in November, and you got to win three of your last four games if you're talking about making a bowl game. So we're talking about potentially, I don't want to fearmonger, potentially missing a bowl game, not being close to the playoff, not being close to the Big 12, and you lose to Kansas, it will be a very uncomfortable offseason for Chris Klieman if they lose this game. Now, talking about Missouri, this would be the biggest win in Eli Drinkwitz's career. The biggest one. I don't care that it's Vanderbilt. I really don't. It does not matter to me that it's Vanderbilt. They are a top 10 team in college football. They were good last year. They have improved and taken the next step. They are a playoff contending team. If you look right now in the SEC, there are two teams that are undefeated in conference play. There are seven teams that have one loss in the SEC. Missouri is one of those teams, and Vandy is one of those teams. Now, these teams start playing each other. Ole Miss plays Oklahoma. Oklahoma plays Missouri later on in the season. Texas A&M plays Missouri. So all these teams are going to start playing each other. Man, it's about racking up good wins, marquee wins, resume, and statement wins. And Missouri, they just don't have one yet. Auburn's a very good win. I'm not here to diminish it. It's not a statement win. Going on the road and beating Vanderbilt, that's a statement win. That's the win that gets the rest of the country to look up and pay attention and take notice of what is happening at the University of Missouri. Eli just doesn't have one of those wins yet. Now, you would think eventually you get one of those wins, but you got to go get them. And Vanderbilt is a team that's playing with all the confidence in the world. They're at home. I was looking on StubHub earlier. The get-in price for this one is $200. You got game day in town. You just had a big win off LSU. Nashville is showing up to support Vanderbilt. They're cool. They've never been cool. Vandy's never won double-digit games, never been a serious contender. They are now as a top 10 team. Oh, this is going to be a difficult place to play. You got a great coach, great quarterback, great culture that they are starting to create with Vanderbilt. This is a big-time win. Can Missouri pass the ball more effectively than they did last week? Can Bo Prabula avoid the big-time turnover that has just really plagued him so far early on in his Missouri career? And can they run the football successfully? They just haven't done it over the last couple of weeks with Ahmad Hardy. They really stayed committed and tried and true to it last week against Auburn. They did not run the football effectively. Now, one very positive thing is you can move the ball and you can score against Vanderbilt. So I'm expecting both of these games, whether it's the game in Nashville or the game in Lawrence, I'm expecting both of these games to be potentially high scoring, very close fourth quarter games. Who can execute? Who can avoid the big mistake? Who can play a complete 60-minute game is going to be the team that wins either one of these matchups. Coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quint Lucas. They are expanding the streetcar. It is official today. You can ride it from City Market all the way down to the plaza. We'll talk to the mayor about it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up momentarily, we are expected to be joined by the mayor of Kansas City. He is actually calling right now, so you will hear him in just a bit whenever Rob answers the phone. Very happy to catch up with him and get his thoughts as today is the official day of the streetcar expansion. They have been working on this for quite some time, but it is now finally here. They broke ground on it, and they have completed it. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by the mayor of Kansas City. Mayor Quentin Lucas joins us on the show today. Mayor Q, happy to have you on today.
It is great to be with you on what is an historic day in Kansas City, another sign of great progress ahead.
So let's talk about this historic day. What does this mean for Kansas City with the streetcar expansion?
First of all, it means much better density through the city. You will see more development, particularly in the Midtown area. That connection that will be open soon between the riverfront, so CPKC Stadium, the women's soccer stadium taking you all the way to UMKC, is a game changer. It means that, frankly, every conference, every convention, every venue, whether it be the big soccer stadium, whether it be any other stadiums that could be built in between now and then, and everything going on is newly connected. You have about 200 to 250 50,000 people that'll be in walking distance of the streetcar system itself, greater access beyond it. This is a big deal, I would say, to the entire region.
Rob and I were talking about this as we were getting ready for the show today, just the evolution of the city. You know this as well as anybody. You and I both grew up here, man. The city has just changed so much over the last 10 years. And I remember there was such pushback in the very, very beginning to the streetcar. And I think a lot of it was people like you seeing the vision of, wait, you got to look at this as not just this 1.5 mile stretch. You got to think about all the possibilities. And it feels like today is that vision finally come true.
You know, it's absolutely right. Today, during the remarks, I got to talk about the fact that the Congresswoman for Northeast Kansas, Johnson County, Sharice Davids, and I went to law school together. But we had a chat probably about 2010-ish after school. We were back in Kansas City, and we were talking about what is the future of Kansas City? What does it bring? We never in our wildest dreams could have imagined some of the things coming ahead. You've got this streetcar line. Obviously, it's more on the sporting field than what we're doing in public service, but you've had Royals, Chiefs championships. The Currenters performing well, which is a wonderful team. 2026 World Cup. You have more growth downtown. Yesterday, Populous, the global architecture design firm, primarily in sports, opened new headquarters and a new office building downtown at 14th and Baltimore. You have got a lot happening in the city. And I know a lot of people get distracted on the politics or on this, that, and the other. But frankly, you know, Kansas City's got it going on right now. And I'm talking about the core of Kansas City. This is the sort of thing we need to make sure we keep going for the years ahead.
It's kind of hard, I think, to really quantify how important this is for the Current and their growth as a team. I've been to a couple of Current games with the parking situation and all of that. The fact that people are going to be able to get on the streetcar, ride it all the way down there, and then ride it all the way back home or back to wherever their car is. I mean, that I just don't think you can quantify how important this is for them, probably of any local company, any local business.
No, this is outstanding news, and I know you're not in the business of advertising for everybody up and down the line, but you talk about the reinvigoration. You noted parking somewhere. You could park at 43rd and Main or close to it, right? Go to the levee, do whatever. Go up on the streetcar line, catch a ride, be in Midtown, be almost anywhere. For the hotel goers, right, this opens up you having to take an Uber absolutely everywhere in this city, and frankly, you will have more people that are able to come to Kansas City for a good weekend or come into town and enjoy one heck of a night night going on through the night. I mean, this is a game changer in how we engage and define our city. You know, I went up to Royals at Cubs a few weeks ago or months ago, I guess, right? And I love the number of Kansas Cityans there. We're talking about, yeah, some people could take the train, some walked over from some hotels. You have that type of engagement. That's the sort of thing that this is providing, not to mention good, regular, everyday transit for workers, for women and men in Kansas City. So that's why I think, you know, it can't be overblown what a difference it is making. And I would encourage anybody, even if you know the Plaza, Midtown, all that stuff well, get back down, take a good ride, and see what's going on.
Right now, we're joined by the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas, celebrating the expansion of the streetcar. Was the goal of the city to have this up and running by the World Cup and give it a six-month sort of trial run before we get a lot of visitors into town?
No, I'll be quite honest. My goal was to have it running last summer. But, you know, look, this project's still on time. I was trying to get them to remove some federal requirements. Unfortunately, we still needed to. I wanted people to be able to ride this streetcar as soon as it was ready, because I think it is a wonderful addition to the people of Kansas City. I think it's going to be exciting for anybody who's on it. And, you know, I got to take my four-year-old son on the train with me today. And that was amazing, right? He's seen Carrington. You and I grew up here. This is a totally different Kansas City. This isn't us hopping from, like, area to area that is just totally different. Where I remember as a kid, I went to the Big 12-8 tournament at, you know, Kemper Arena. That felt like it was in its own universe. You do something up at Bartle Hall. Yeah, I actually am old enough to have gone to the Woodlands, for those of y'all who got some years on you. The racetrack out in Wyandotte County, where the Legends is now. I mean, everything was so diffused. Now we have this opportunity where we're saying Kansas City is connected. We're all part of it. You can get from one thing to another. I think this is going to be something that really poises Kansas City to compete in ways that are different than before. And I will say this. This is not just a train line that is purely just commuter rail, although that has its merits. This is something that's connecting the most exciting and dynamic areas of the Kansas City region onto one line. That is exceptional for us, and I think it's going to be something that pays dividends in the future.
Mayor Cuen, just typical media fashion, I have to ask you what's next, even though it's just day one of this. But are we talking about this is it for the streetcar line? Could you see further expansion past UMKC and past the Plaza, or is this it?
Look, we had Kansans who were on the stage with us. We had others. East-West expansion is a really big, important thing. Something I said in my remarks today. I think it's vital that we make sure that we break the truce divide, that is East-West in Kansas City, typically segregation-type patterns. And I think we need to break the state line divide. Imagine for a moment, and this is something that's less tourism, more health care, more jobs. Imagine a connection that gets you from the University of Kansas Hospital, 39th and Rainbow, 39th and State Line in KCK, over to the VA Hospital, for those of y'all who go to Arrowhead a lot, off of Van Brunt, just about 31st and Van Brunt, right? That is a somewhat straight-ish shot that gets a whole lot of folks connected to medical services, to jobs. It crosses Truce, Prospect, a lot of streets that I spend time thinking about each and every day, and frankly, it opens up more of Kansas City. I think East-West is going to be the next phase of it. There's already talk about 18th Street, that connection to 18th and Vine, the new Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, which is going to be at 19th and Paseo. I mean, I think we are ready. We are close. And frankly, people today are excited about what can come next.
Right now, we're talking to the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas. I'm sure you've seen a lot of the complaints. I'm sure you heard a lot of the complaints about the traffic on Main. I mean, it was bad there for about 2 years. You couldn't drive on Main. Now people are kind of frustrated with it potentially being one lane because of the streetcar. As somebody who lives downtown, you just learn how to evolve around it, and it's just not really that big of a deal. That's kind of been my stance on it, but I'm sure you've heard the complaints about it.
No, I've heard all the complaints. I've heard all the different folks. But, you know, I stopped by a restaurant today, Ragazza, which is in 43rd and Main. They had it probably as bad as anybody. Years of construction, and unlike the downtown and Plaza survivors, right, who at least have density, conferences, conventions, all of that to keep them going, they were on their own. I walked into a restaurant at lunchtime that was thrilled, that was excited, that had a good crowd, that had people that were celebrating the opening of this. This is a game changer. And let me tell you something about Kansas City that I've always found interesting. If you are looking to get in and out quickly, there are ways to do it. I-35, 71 Highway, the traffic wave, even though I live close to it, but I know y'all be flying through, there are ways. But if you want to enjoy the best of Kansas City, Right. Hop on the streetcar line. If you want to go out to a nice dinner, if you want to do something special after a special day, you know, we are a community that should be proud of our density, our history, and our culture. I was just down in another community. I won't name it necessarily, but, you know, look, they just got strip malls and all of that. And that's one approach, and that's fine, and that's good, honest work. I like to live in a major metropolitan area that has more to offer. You know, we can't just say we're great, but when I'm talking to Brett Yormark, the commissioner of the Big 12, who I spent time with this week, when I'm talking about global firms like Populous that I was with yesterday, when I'm talking to people like FIFA, they want to know the excitement and the energy of Kansas City. And I will say this, because some of y'all listening right now are going to be like, Mayor Q, I don't give a darn about that. I just want it to be efficient. No, you don't. No, you don't. You love living in a Kansas City that has things going on. And this is a sign of things going on. And I guarantee it is still a place that somebody can conveniently get in and out and get through.
It's in my contract that I have to ask you a question about the stadium every time you come on. So let's just go ahead and get those questions out of the way. There was a letter from the mayor of North Kansas City saying that they're having conversations with the Royals. What did you think of the letter?
Look, you're not going to see that from Kansas City. I like the mayor of North Kansas City. He's a good man. We all have different approaches, but in Kansas City, Missouri, the way we do it is we have our conversations. The conversations have not stopped with the teams. I read and watch with interest. I mean, look, Carrington, you covered this ad nauseum like everybody else. 5-6 months ago, there was somebody on your station that was saying that letters are going to be signed and the deal's announced in a few days. You know, 2 weeks ago, the Kansas City Stars reporting that, yeah, it's imminent with North Kansas City. Everybody's got a different thing every day of the week. You're not going to know anything until it's time to know something. And I'm not going to try to get into this sort of rat race. I mean, I think over in Kansas, you got a guy from Wichita who's trying to run for governor. So he's getting in the news about it. You got others who are kind of chest pumping on things that I'm not sure if it's time for it. And in Kansas City, you know, slow and steady wins the race. We've kept our relationships with the teams. I certainly will tell you this. I think if there's any person that to a man says, wow, in the last day, somebody just look at my calendar. I went to a global headquarters opening a block from the streetcar line downtown. I was on the streetcar opening today. I was at the Kansas City Marathon with 10,000 runners on Saturday morning. All of this within two blocks of this streetcar line. I think it's a no-brainer in some ways as to where the stadium should go. And I think if somebody's being honest, it's a no-brainer as to where the stadium should go. I think common sense, good economics are going to be the thing that makes a difference. I talked to the new Jackson County executive today about a lot of it, too. I feel good with where we are, but I ain't going to tell you any stories about what's imminent tomorrow or the day after because it's not my place.
I'm just going to ask, are you guys still having conversations with the Royals? Are you still communicating with the Royals? Obviously, they're looking at different sites, but would you say that those communications are positive with the Royals?
Our conversations never end, and I think our conversations always stay positive. So, you know, I'm proud of where we are. That's all I got to say. You're not going to see anything from me until it's time. And don't worry, you'll be invited to a press conference. We'll put you in the front row. We'll get to talk about the next big thing in Kansas City. But I want to ask you this, and all your listeners this. You know, what is the exciting story that you want to hear? Because I think if they go to some of the other spots, people will be saying, okay, you know, whatever, interesting, maybe good, maybe bad. Some people care about the state line. I don't really. I'm just excited about how dynamic downtown Kansas City is compared to when CDOT and I were little kids in the 90s when there wasn't nothing going on. So I think that we need to keep that momentum going. I think that's a difference that Kansas City has. That's something we continue to share positively, but we'll have more to share when we have more to share.
I got two things, and I'll get you out of here. First off, I know you've eaten at 1587 Prime. What's your official review?
Quentin Lucas official review. Outstanding dishes. The cuts of meat are particularly fantastic. It is a price point, though. So if you're taking your lady, your friend, whatever, you know, make sure you already paid your bills for the month. But it's a very, very good experience. The ambiance is wonderful. You know, I look forward to making it back. And I told my wife, we're going to make it back in about a year.
You know, this is very important. When you order a steak, how are you getting your steak cooked?
I get mine medium well. I'm maybe a little more well done than other people want it, but you know, I actually like the crisps on the side in particular. I know I got people looking at me like, damn, Q, we thought you had judgment, but that's how I tend to roll with it.
All right, we've been asking everybody this question over the last couple of weeks. What is the word that you really struggle with and spell check has to take over? So we asked Mahomes this question. He said his word is itinerary. Mine is convenience. I have no clue how to spell convenience. I let spell check take over every single time. What is that word that trips you up?
Mine is going to sound so simple, and y'all will not believe that I have a law degree, a good one at that, too. But canceled is always interesting because a lot of the airports sometimes try to drop the L that's in there, and so are the extra L. And so sometimes you deal with that. One L or two, it's two, of course. But I know sometimes that can be interesting for people. I probably have, there are much harder words that I mess up to, but I don't know them right now.
Whenever it comes to KU and K-State, are you allowed to pick somebody, or are you just staying out of Kansas business?
I love my Kansas business, man. I lived in Hutchinson, Kansas years ago. I'm all about it. But on this one, I'm going to wear my Big 12 hat and just say good luck to everybody. But you may not know this, but I'm still on the faculty of the University of Kansas. But I'm just going to wish a great game for everybody. Although, let me be fair. My brother, AD, Travis, I know Travis Goff is doing good work over there, the new stadium. I wish them well, but I don't need all the K-State people coming at me. So good luck to everyone. I'm probably a little more KU tomorrow, but I hope it's a good game regardless. And then Missouri over Vanderbilt all the way.
I was just going to say, I mean, that's the most politician answer because you, like, didn't want to answer it, and then you basically said you were picking KU. That was really good. You got a lot of practice doing this.
Hey, man, I love every man a Wildcat. I love y'all, too. Just a few more contacts to KU. That being said, I hope it's good. But look, it's going to be a great weekend of football for Kansas City sports fans. And then hopefully everybody comes downtown, rides the streetcar line, fills up some bars and restaurants all Saturday.
That is the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas, joining us on the show. I would say that we'll have you on whenever we get real stadium news, but I don't know when we'll get real stadium news. So I'll find a reason to have you on the show.
We're going to be old. I'm playing now. We'll get something useful here, hopefully, before the end of the year.
That is the mayor of Kansas City. Mayor Quentin Lucas joining us on the show today. Really happy to catch up with him. Really appreciate him joining us today to talk about the streetcar. It is really crazy. As somebody born and raised in Kansas City, I've never lived anywhere else to see the changes in our city in such a short period of time. Like, for those of you that are in the same boat as me, we've seen downtown completely transform in our lifetime. Downtown was not a place that you went as a child. You did not go down there. It was nothing down there to go do. There were no bars. People didn't live down there. It was like that one scene in The Lion King where he says, "You never go there." That's what downtown was for most of our lives. And think about what has happened in just 25 years. We can even go faster than that. Like, what's happened in the last 10 years? How many lights are we at? We have 4 light now up to this point. They build a new one every single day. The Sprint Center is still a very, very strong building. They're talking about putting the potential baseball stadium not far from there. I mean, the evolution that we have seen downtown take is really, really cool if you've lived here your whole life.
It is. I'm going to put the Kansas-Missouri, stadium stuff to the side for a minute and just talk about the fact that what downtown has become is truly incredible. And I feel like sometimes we get caught up in the minutia and we don't see the forest for the trees type of thing. But what has happened down there is truly incredible. We were, probably 12, 13, 14 when they broke ground on the Sprint Center, now T-Mobile Center. And that was basically the only thing downtown. There was T-Mobile Center and then there was
for sure
Power and Light. Now there's tons and tons of different things. I mean, your apartment complex, your loft wasn't a thing 15 years ago. Now it's one of like 9 down there. There's the Crossroads District, which ask people who are 45, 50. When they were our age, there was no such thing as the Crossroads District. There wasn't bars and restaurants and a streetcar to zoom up and down. Like, it is growth in the most positive way. And when you take a step back and truly appreciate it as a Kansas Cityan, you understand why FIFA and the Big 12 and all these entities are signing up to do things in Kansas City, because Kansas City is not just flyover cowtown anymore. It is a legitimate metropolitan area that has a bustling, fun downtown. And is it perfect? No, but I don't think any downtown area in America is perfect. That's just the nature of America. It is the best we've ever seen, and it is not done getting better. I mean, the mayor there in the interview hinted at it. I bet the streetcar has goals beyond just the plaza. It has larger goals. It has bigger hopes. I know that people in politics want one day for us to not be a transit city the way we are. Like, this is a really big day for the city, and it's a bunch of big days we've experienced as a city in the last 5, 10, 15 years.
I want to get back to college football here momentarily. Kansas right now, they are a 3.5-point favorite right now over K-State. It seems like that hook, that 3.5 is what's going to end up getting you in this one. Do you agree with the line on this one? Do you think the KU should be 3.5-point favorites in this one? That's a noticeable favorite. I mean, I think that Kansas would be favored over K-State if it was a neutral site. I don't think they'd be favored if this game was in Manhattan. But if this game was played at Arrowhead, for example, I think the KU would be favored in that matchup. It'd be close. It'd be a 1, maybe a 2. It'd be a kind of viewed as a pick 'em. But I do think the KU would be favored over K-State if this game was at Arrowhead.
I think you're right. So I was on a podcast, K-State podcast, shout out to Bosco's boys, and they asked me a similar question. Do you think the line is fair? And I do, because from an on-the-field perspective, what happens between the white lines, I believe Kansas is a better football team in 2025 than Kansas State. But there is just something. There is some mental hold. There is just some prison that K-State football has put Kansas into, and they cannot get over that hump. So I agree with the line. I think 2.5 and 3, maybe 3.5 is probably the correct play. It's probably the correct number, but I have zero confidence that Kansas is going to win or cover, because it's been 16 years. In the last two seasons, I felt like Kansas was the superior team on the field, and yet they found a way to lose. So the line is correct, but the line can't account for the fact that K-State absolutely imprisons Kansas when it comes to football.
Man, it feels like, at least so far this season for K-State, with what I've seen, they've been in a majority of these games in the fourth quarter, and then some nonsense happens. They had a chance to win that game against Iowa State. Late interception, clock management issues, late turnover. They had a chance to win the Army game. They had a chance to win the Arizona game. They could have beat Baylor. Probably should have beat Baylor in that game. They just didn't handle the last 4 minutes. So when we talk about this being a full four-quarter game, I think you and I both agree. I don't see Kansas running away with this. I don't think K-State runs away with this. K-State has just shot themselves in the foot in every single one of these games. And the question is, are they going to repeat that process on Saturday against the Jayhawks?
To be fair, and you're right, K-State has found a way to lose a lot of games this year. The last time we saw both these programs on the field, Kansas basically laid down in the fourth quarter against Tech. I know Tech is better than Kansas, but what Tech did to KU in the fourth quarter was bad. It was 21-17 at some point, and then Tech went on a 21-0 run. Meanwhile, against a less-than-Tech team, but TCU's a salty team, K-State dominated that game for absolutely four quarters. So if you are a fan of the EcoCats, you were probably thinking to yourself, hey, the last time we saw these two teams play, it felt like K-State had turned a corner and Kansas may have turned back into a pumpkin. Like, I feel like this season's kind of like KU season last year for K-State. You're going to look back and be like, man, we were better than our record if we had just held on to a few of those one-score type of games.
Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Brandon Kiley. We'll get you ready for Missouri and Vanderbilt. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got the...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Brandon Kiley. He is with ESPN 101 STL. I would say that Nick Wright probably taught Brandon 92% of what he knows in this business. I filled out the rest of the eight. BK, how you doing?
C-Dot, what's good, man? How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, man. So I want to start with this. We have been asking everybody this question. I want to find this out with you. What is the word that you can't spell? We asked Mahomes this question, and his word was itinerary. Mine is convenience. I have no clue how to spell convenience. I let spell check take over. What's that word for you?
I screwed up captain when I was in like the fourth grade spelling bee, and I'll never forget it. And now every time that I see the word, for some reason, I juxtapose the I and the A. I caption versus captain. I screw it up every time.
That's actually a really, really good one. That's a really good one. We haven't gotten that one yet. No, we haven't gotten that one. So, BK, there's a lot to talk to you about. I was trying to think of the last time I was that fired up after a Missouri win. Like, I'm a pacer. Like, some people scream at the TV. That's not me. Like, I'm the guy standing in front of the television, walking back and forth. My heart rate was, I was so happy with the way that they won that game. You and I both love this team. We follow this team. Man, they always find a way to lose a game like that. With the
I know
way
there
that,
were,
Go ahead, BK.
Sorry, I know there were a lot of people that were so disappointed by the win, right? Like, you go down to Auburn, and Auburn's not very good, and so people are like, frustrated with how much of a slog the game was. Man, I was just like you, C-Dot. I knew going in that was not going to be an easy game to win. You're going up against a desperate opponent on the road, 90,000 fans in the stands. They've got an unbelievable defense. I loved the fact that they got pushed. They were on the brink, and they had to show that competitive toughness to come back in that game coming off of a huge loss against Bama. I enjoyed that game. That to me is what college football is all about.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I just think this is kind of one of those things, and I'm not trying to sell like I think Auburn is some juggernaut kind of team, but I mean, I think a lot of teams would be 3-4 with the schedule that they've had so far this year. Like, their losses are all teams that are just quite frankly better than them and some of the better teams in the country. You're right. The hardest thing to get in college sports is that road night conference win, and for Missouri to go out there and just overcome adversity. They were down 17-10. They missed a field goal in overtime. They had first and 10 from the 30-yard line and just went backwards the rest of the way. Like, there were so many times that that game could have turned left for them. The fact that they figured out a way to win, I was proud of them.
I also love the way they did it. Like, it was kind of the passing game that ultimately led you back into it, and then the defensive line, which we knew coming into the season had to be their strength. And at times in that game, especially early on, it didn't feel like they were making their presence felt against Jackson Arnold. But down the stretch, I mean, Zion Young was completely unblockable. And for him to do what he did with all of the shouting prior to the coin toss and overtime, and then for him to take over the game the way that he did, that just made it that much sweeter.
To me, that's what gives them a chance to potentially win this game. Now, we'll talk more about the offense, and I don't think Vanderbilt has the defense that Auburn does, but I just go into these games thinking that Bo Perbula is going to throw one up for grabs. He's done that in three straight games. It's just always one of those kind of plays. Can they run the football successfully? Can their defense step up and make plays? If they can get that formula, I think they can beat just about anybody in this conference.
I agree. I think Mizzou's a legitimately good team. Now, back-to-back road games in the SEC without a bye week in between, that's a tough spot to be in. I know Vandy is not, you know, going down to Auburn or Bama or anything like that, but going on the road in general in this conference is tough, and this is not going to be an easy task for them. C-Dot, I just see these teams as being so similar in so many different ways. I think Missouri's run defense is better than Vandy's run defense. I think Vandy's got a better quarterback than Mizzou, and I think Vandy has better special teams than Mizzou. So as I've been kind of going up and down at everything that I can to break this game down in a million different ways, I am predicting Mizzou to lose, not because I take joy in that or because I'm like hoping that they do, but I just think this could be a game very similar to the Bama game where you have everything that you need, you're right there in it, and ultimately one team has a Heisman caliber quarterback and the other team doesn't. And that's what I fear going into this one, is there's little edges for Vandy, and I think that'll help them get into the right spots, but ultimately I fear Diego Pavia, and I don't know that Vandy has that same fear about Bo Perbula.
Right now, we're talking to BK, taking a closer look at Missouri and Vandy. You just mentioned it with Diego Pavia. There's this line on Chappelle's show where they talk about Rick James and he has this aura around him. I kind of feel that way about Diego Pavia, man. There's just something about him. You got Johnny Manziel on the sideline. He does the Heisman pose. He's sitting there with his girlfriend on the field. It's just, there's something I just like about Diego Pavia. I hate that I got to root against him this weekend.
Dude, it's so frustrating. Like, I was looking into Vandy's history, right, just as a program. And they've actually had some success against top 15 opponents over the last couple of seasons. All of that is basically Diego Pavia. They won three of their last six matchups against top 15 opponents. You go back prior to the last six matchups that Vandy has had as a program, CDOT, they were 3-98 in their previous 101 games against top 15 opponents. So he has matched the amount of wins that they had in their prior 101 games, basically, over the last couple of years. That's Pavia. He's completely changed the way that people look at the program, and it's all on his back. Like, he's the one that has made all of this possible. And I don't want to give him too much credit. I don't know that you can, because there's other guys that are on that team that are talented. They've got really good tight ends. They've got a good defense, all of that different stuff. But, man, we've seen a lot of teams that put together solid rosters. Auburn, honestly, is this. They've got a solid roster everywhere else, but then you look at the quarterback position, they just don't have anybody that can get the job done. Pavia is not only a guy that can get the job done. He's up there. You mentioned him. He's Johnny Manziel. He's Dak Prescott. He's Tim Tebow of their program. Like, he does stuff that you just don't see at this level, especially at a program like Vandy.
I'll get you out of here with these last two questions. Number one, maybe it's more of a comment than a question. Eli Drinkwitz at some point just has to win this game at Missouri. I understand that these games are really difficult to get and just very few coaches get all of them, but this is a marquee banner win. I don't care what kind of program they've been in the past. Vanderbilt is a legitimate playoff team and has a chance to make noise in the college football playoff. They just don't have that kind of win under Eli Drinkwitz in his Missouri tenure.
Yeah, I mean, the closest thing would probably be a couple of years ago when they beat Tennessee in that game that they just absolutely dominated Tennessee in. That was a really good win there. But I do wonder, see, you mentioned you don't care about Vandy's program pedigree, all those different things. Do you think this would be viewed by most as a signature victory because of who Vanderbilt is?
The reason I think it would be viewed as a good win is because of what they did last week against LSU. Like, I think winning that game, now you have College Game Day. They're ranked number 10. Pavia kind of starting to get a little bit of Heisman buzz. Now, yeah, like, this isn't going to be viewed the same as beating one of the traditional power teams, but whenever the season wraps up and you go through resumes, beating Vanderbilt, especially on the road, that's going to be viewed as a very good win for you.
I think it'll be viewed as a really good win on a resume. I agree with you there. I just wonder, like, as we're doing the thing that we do with James Franklin, right, where you talk about, does he have that signature win? Is he beating the teams that he's supposed to beat? I think ultimately that's going to come down to whether or not Eli Drinkwitz is able to get the win against Texas A&M or Oklahoma, more so than it is what he does against Vandy this week. Now, you got to win this game, because if you don't, those become must wins for every reason. If you lose this week and then against either A&M or Oklahoma, you're done. Your season's over. You can't make it into the college football with their resume at 9-3 this year. I don't believe that'll be possible. But I don't know if this will have the amount of cachet that I want it to, even though I agree with you, CDOT. I view it the same way. I don't think publicly people will view Vandy as that, like, quote-unquote signature win that he's lacking on his resume. I still think people would view that win against Tennessee as a bigger win than this one.
Funny enough that you mentioned James Franklin. I'll get you out of here with this question. Week one in 2026, who is the head coach for the University of Missouri?
I still think Drinkwitz is there. We've talked about this, CDOT, in the past. I think college football has changed. I think what you saw with Indiana signing Kurt Cignetti to that long-term extension is a reminder of just how much college football has changed. 10 years ago, Cignetti is going to become the next head football coach at Penn State. No doubt about it. You take that job 10 times out of 10, the money's different, the ability to win is different. And in today's game, like, I'm just not sure that it is all that different. The one thing that really changes is expectations. And if you're Drinkwitz and you take the job at Florida, or you're Kurt Cignetti, you take the job at Penn State, you immediately have to win 10 to 12 games every single season, or you're back on the hot seat. If you're Drinkwitz at Mizzou and you consistently win 8 to 9 and you have those peak years where you're able to get into potential college football playoff consideration, they build a statue of you outside of the stadium. And if you have a bad year and it's a one-off, it's all right. You've got a mulligan because of all of the goodwill that you've built up around that program. So I think he ultimately views it that way and sticks with Mizzou. I wouldn't have felt that way as recently as a few seasons ago, but now with where he's at, what he's built this program into, the ability to win there, I think he ends up sticking around and he's the head coach week one of 2026.
That is Brandon Kiley joining us on the show with ESPN 100 and STL. He is the captain of the show. Appreciate you, BK.
Appreciate you, C-Dot. Take it easy, man.
Absolutely. That's BK joining us on the show today. We're going to continue to talk college football here. Rob has really booked this thing. We're going to head to Lawrence coming up in a bit. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.